This morning we heard not one but two stories about widows. One, the widow of Sidon, as it's known, which details the story about when the prophet Elijah comes and God does something miraculous with the flour and the oil. The other, a widow who gives at the temple treasury. Now the story is familiar to a lot of us, you know, the widow's mite. But they're two widows, two women, divided by time and space. Different situations. But I think that there is a common lesson that we can draw out of this. And so we're going to see where that takes us this morning. Our first passage from 1 Kings catches up with Elijah, who God was using to proclaim a great drought on the land, in an effort to show that it's only the Lord God who is truly God. You see, in his days, there were people worshiping Baals who were gods. You know, they would be the Baal of the stream, the Baal of the sky, the Baal of the field. They worshiped what brought them sustenance, what they thought would bring them life and food and so on and so forth. And so Elijah had been doing combat, so to speak, with them. And in the midst of it, God was using Elijah to proclaim a drought on the area that would then allow God to use Elijah to remove the drought later on. So in the midst of this drought, which is leading to famine now, God was providing for Elijah by amazing means. Just previous to this episode, God had used the ravens to feed Elijah. But now in our passage today, God tells Elijah that he has told a particular widow in Sidon to feed Elijah. We have to pause here, okay? We can't just gloss over this. This is a startling thing for God to do for a few reasons. Number one being that a widow is not the first person you would go to for help. In those days, as well as in Jesus' days, in our New Testament passage, a widow would have been one of the least of these, the people that didn't have their own agency. They didn't have power. They didn't have wealth. That's why throughout the Old Testament, whenever God is getting angry at his people or other nations, it's because they're not caring for the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner in their midst. The people that are the least of these, the ones without power. And so here, God is telling Elijah to go to this woman, which really sounds kind of morally questionable. You know, it'd be like if I came up to you and said, hey, you know what, so-and-so lost their job. Why don't we go see if they'll take us to lunch? It's not something you would do, right? But that's really what's taking place here. Elijah is going to go to this widow's house and tell her that God has said you need to feed me. So don't, please, don't miss just how startling this all is. Not to mention the fact this was not even a widow in Israel. It was a widow in Sidon, outside of God's people, still being affected by this famine. So Elijah goes, shows up, the widow is gathering sticks, and Elijah asks for water, and she says, okay, I'll give you water. That would have been a non-negotiable. Hospitality in those days would have dictated you, at the very least, you have to give everybody water. But then he says, and can you give me some bread? And that's where this widow, she draws the line. She says, look, I don't have enough to share with you. I've got a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. I was going to make one last cake of bread, and then my son and I were going to die. And she had prefaced all of this by saying, as sure as the Lord your God lives, that's what I'm doing. Well, Elijah responds and says, don't be afraid. God has this plan. He sent me here, and God's not going to allow your supply to run out. And so she does. She makes it. And each day, miraculously, there is still more flour and oil. You know the story, right? And the woman, her son, and Elijah are all cared for. But this this is a startling story for all the reasons I mentioned. She was the least of these. She wasn't old, by the way, either. Don't get confused there. She was young. She had a child she was still caring for. And her only real hope would have been in that son growing up and being able to provide for her. But instead, they were basically waiting to die. In the Gospel of Mark, we meet another widow, a different situation, much more recent in time. But she arrives on the scene at the temple treasury after, and context is important here, after Jesus had been teaching on the teachers of the law. I want to remind you what Jesus had said. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces." You might wonder, why is it flowing robes? Why that is that such a big deal? Well, you know, most people couldn't walk around in flowing robes. They had to work. Teachers of the law, they didn't have to work, so they got to walk around in flowing robes. Like to be greeted, like to have the most important seats in the synagogues, the places of honor at banquets. But here is the key part. Verse 40. They devour widows' houses. They devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. Now, what was Jesus talking about here? Why were they devouring widows' houses? That's key for understanding this passage. Well, let's read on, and we'll see if we can address that. Jesus sat down opposite of the place where the offerings were being put and watched the crowd putting in their money. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So why was this woman in poverty? Oh, a few reasons, right? One of them being, still in those days, much like the widow of Sidon, if you were a woman and you lost your husband and didn't have a son to provide for you, you didn't have means. You didn't have means. But it wasn't just that. And this is where the devouring of the widow's houses comes in. The teachers, who were the interpreters of God's law for the people in Israel, were interpreting God's law to say, you need to, by the law, be giving in the temple, even if you don't have anything to support yourself. And so why was this woman there at the temple? Was it because she's an awesome example of stewardship? Or is it because she was simply fulfilling what she understood God's law to be, even if that meant she couldn't even support herself and had to be dependent on other people? And so Jesus recognizes that and says, "I tell you the truth, this widow's put more into the treasury than all others," obviously not by monetary value, but she literally did give more. She gave everything she had. She's got nothing left to support herself. She's going to be depending on the alms of other people. So the question comes to us, what do we receive from this passage? Now, it's been very much the case that these passages, both of them in fact, have been used as an opportunity for pastors to come to their churches and say, "Look how these people gave so sacrificially. This should be a model for you." But is that really what we ought to be taking from this passage? Are these two women, is the example that we're supposed to get from them, that we should give everything we have so that we can no longer support the people who depend on us or even support ourselves? I don't think so. I don't think so. And Jesus never says that. Jesus never holds this woman up as an example of what to do. What he does is highlights what is already happening. And remember, this is in the context of the teachers of the law who devour widows' houses. So I don't think these two women are necessarily a good example or a good foundation for me to preach a sermon on stewardship, that all of you should go and do the same. Now, does God call us to give? Indeed. May God even call us to give sacrificially sometimes? Absolutely. But from what I can see in this passage, I do not think that what we are seeing is that it is pleasing to God what is going on with this woman, especially the one that Jesus encountered in the New Testament. He is not pleased that this woman, who is a widow and who is vulnerable, is having to put the last 2 cents she has to her name into the temple coffers. In fact, when we take it in context, he seems to be pointing the finger at the teachers of the law who are busy devouring their houses because of the way they're interpreting God's law. Why they themselves traipse around in flowing robes and collect all the adulation and accolades of everybody around them. And doesn't mince any words, ends it with, "Such men will be punished most severely." So we don't take this necessarily as a step-by-step on how you ought to give. But if there is anything in here that does speak to us about giving, it would be that both of these women, when faced in a situation where they had no options, they still turned to God. I mean, if we think about the widow in Sidon, who ended up trusting Elijah, trusting God, and using this last oil and flour that she had to make this cake. I mean, she didn't really have any other options, right? She's planning to die. But what she ended up doing is, in her last ditch effort, casting her lots with God. And the widow at the temple, who had nothing left, she too cast her lots with God, and that she felt like God was calling her to do this, even if it maybe wasn't actually what God would have wanted in the end, and that it was a misinterpretation of how they were applying God's law. And so there is something to be said about trusting God when we are in these situations, and there is something to be said about having a generous heart towards God. Because as Jesus pointed out, there were all sorts of rich people who were throwing large amounts of money into the plate. And maybe you've heard it said before in sermons, but you know, they didn't have soft felted bags for you to put your money into. These were loud. And so you can imagine all the crashing of coins, crash, 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 you know, and almost like someone's, you know, tooting their trumpet as soon as they drop it in there. Would have been quite a contrast to see the widow come by and just a plink, plink. And so what we see here is that when it comes to giving, God's far more concerned with what's going on in the heart. This woman had resigned everything she had into God's hands, while others, out of their abundance, were giving. Not that them giving out of their abundance was a bad thing either. You know, remember, it's not that Jesus is coming down on people who were wealthy and giving in the temple treasury either. Instead, he was just pointing out just how different what was going on with this woman, this widow, who was giving. And so what I want you to come away from this with is not a confusion that this is a roadmap for how you should give yourself into destitution. But at the same time, remembering God may call us and stretch us sometimes when it comes to giving. But also, to notice how God pays attention to our hearts. He's not indifferent to the systems that we have in this world, especially when it's a system that's set up supposedly by his people. That was the biggest criticism that Jesus was making. The teachers of the law were abusing people, driving them, the weakest, into places of extreme need. And God didn't miss that. God wasn't missing that, wasn't missing their plight. So be inspired by their turning to God. Be aware that God is looking into the heart. And do your best to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as you give. And watching out for those around you who may be getting crushed by the systems of the world around them, like this widow was. Let's pray. Lord God, we can hide nothing from you. All of our motivations are laid bare before your gaze. So, Lord God, we pray that you would change our hearts if they need changing. That our disposition towards you would be one of generosity and trust. And that, like you, God, we might see the hidden hurting people around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.